Lord, we ask that you would be with us today as we open up your word and discuss and see who you are and what you have done for us, Lord. I just pray that you would give us wisdom, that you would give us understanding of all the things that you have expressed to us, even in song today, Lord. We thank you for that. Thank you for Paul, for having a heart of worship and able to lead us into your presence today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, I don't know if I've ever had this full of Zoomers in my whole life here. This is pretty cool, actually, in some ways. So I got Paul back there. We can wave to Paul and wave to all you guys and say, praise the Lord, here we are, let's go. So what I wanted to talk about today is something that the Lord has been working in my life, really from the beginning. A few years ago, he gave me a prophetic vision or a word which had to do with a door, and above the door was humility. And what the word was about is that if we're able or willing to walk through that door of humility, then it would open up all the things of the kingdom to us. Since then, I've shared a little bit on the subject of humility and related with Matthew 5, the first beatitude is, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So I always felt like humility was the door in which we need to enter all the things of God. So a month or so ago, my sister Teresa sent me a book. And it's by Derek Prince, and it was called Pride and Humility. And as I read that, I realized a lot of the things that God has shown me also showed Derek as well. And so I wanted to use that book a little bit as a jumping ground to talk about some of the things that he helped me put some words together to express this subject. One thing that I've always understood or expressed is that there are spiritual laws just like there are natural laws. And in the natural laws, let's say like the law of gravity, everyone is under subject to that law. So if you go up in a plane, then you'll eventually come back down. If you lose your speed, because gravity is still there, even though it seems like you have broken the law of gravity, you really, really haven't. In some ways, some people say, well, I can break a law, but if you do break that law, like you decide to jump out of a fourth-story window or something, the law is going to break you, right? Because you're going to fall and not be with us any longer, right? The same is for spiritual laws. There are spiritual laws, and one of the spiritual laws that we want to talk about today is pride versus humility. In Matthew 23, verse 12, Jesus was speaking this, and he says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So this is a spiritual law, and we'll see that as we go through some different examples of people breaking this law as well as people fulfilling, humbling themselves and going through with that. In James 4, verse 10, it says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So what we see is there's this principle that if we lower ourselves in humility, that God will lift us up. But the opposite is also true in what we said, that if you don't humble yourself, then and you exalt yourself, you will be brought down. And so we see that. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6, Peter is expressing this, and he's saying, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. This word, clothe yourself, just like all the other ones, it says humble yourself. In every case, what we see is it's our responsibility to humble ourselves. It's up to us to do it. And what we see with Peter in this expression about putting on clothes is that you take a garment and you put it around you yourself. Somebody else doesn't dress you. You have to dress yourself. Another translation of this particular verse says or wear overalls of humility. So the idea that some scholars think Peter, what he was thinking about was like a apron that you put on as a servant. A servant would put on a particular apron that expressed that they were a servant, and two, they put it on so they could serve. And so the idea with this is that through humility is what we put on is a heart of servanthood, and that's a way that we humble ourselves. So with each of these things that we're looking at initially here, we see that that it's our responsibility to put on humility, and it's not in the area of emotion, but it's in the area of our will. So it's something that we decide to put on. We decide to change our attitude and by our will decide to serve someone else. So we also see in Deuteronomy 8 verses, let's look at that, Deuteronomy 8 verse 2 and 3. It's a particular thing that is being expressed here with the children of Israel, that the children of Israel came up out of Israel, and it says that in verse 2, it says that you go into the promised land, and I led you for 40 years, and then it says, I led you to humiliate you and test you to know that what was in your heart, whether you would keep my commandments or not. So he humbled you always, because you got hungry and he fed you with manna. And he talks about, he continues on and he says, he gave you clothes that would not wear out. So what we see is that God does give us at times different circumstances that humbles us. But what should our response be? Well, we know historically that the children of Israel did not really humble themselves, so they spent that 40 years in the desert and were not able to enter into the promised land. So on the one hand, God will bring circumstances into our life to humble us, but it's still our responsibility, and our response is to humble ourselves, and that's the first thing that we need to understand. Next, I'd like to look at is really the first sin in all the universe, and if you look at that, it was not a sin about morality, or it was not a sin about murder. But it was, but the point was pride, and that's with Lucifer. So we see that this sin, this first sin that happened, was not on earth. It was actually in heaven, and it was with a particular being called Lucifer, which was a cherubim or an angel. So let's look at that scripture a little bit first. Well, I'd like to comment. There's two scriptures. One is in Isaiah chapter 14. And we'll look at that in a minute. And then there's also in Ezekiel 28, 11 through 17. We'll look at that first. In both these cases, we think about prophetic words have to do with either now or for the future. But in this case, God is revealing through a prophetic word something that we would not have known, because it had happened before man even existed. And so what God is doing is revealing to us through a prophetic word what actually happened before we existed. And so what we see is, if you look at chapter 28, starting at verse 14, it's talking about you anointed cherubim. And it says that you were on the mountain of God and you walked back and forth in the midst of a fiery stone. So we see that this being was in the very presence of the Lord in heaven. And it says then in verse 15 is that you were perfect in all your ways from the day you were created. No iniquity was found in you. And it says also that he was sealed with perfection in verse 11. You were sealed with perfection and full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. So we see this being is probably the most wise and the most beautiful being that God ever created. And this being was in the presence of the Lord. And then we see that his wisdom and his beauty brought him to a place of pride. If you read in Isaiah 14, 13 through 15, there's basically... Lucifer is saying, I will, five different times. And the last time he says, I will make myself like the Most High. So we see that that Lucifer decided that he wanted to be above God, no longer in subjection to God, but be equal with God. And in Ezekiel verse 16, it says, by the abundance of your trading, you became full of violence within you, and you sinned. The word trade is literally can be translated as going to and fro. And in other places, it's also translated in the Hebrew as slanderous or tale-bearing. So what we see is that he was going to and fro among the other angels, expressing things like, well, you know, you could be better than you are now. You know, you know, God is keeping us down. We, you know, follow what's in your heart, right? The word of our day. And in expressing that, he began to express rebellion among the angels that were under him. So when this was found out, or however that happened, God cast him out. He cast him down. So Satan or Lucifer elevated himself, and then he was lowered. He was cast out of heaven. So what we see is that Satan exalted himself, which resulted in the fall. The other thing that we see that the motivation was pride, but the action or the result was rebellion. And that's what is the fruit of pride, is rebellion. So what is God's reaction to this? What did God do? Well, the next thing that we know that he did is that he created man. And in doing so, what we see, we begin to see that God's reaction to pride is humility. And so what we see is the creation of man is unique. It's unique in several areas, in that we know that all the other creation, he spoke the word and it was created. But here, what we see is that God is personally involved in creating man. He said, "Let us make man in our image." And what we see is that God got down into the dirt, right? He lowered himself down into the dirt and he created a mud man. And then he lowered himself even more. He humbled himself even more and he breathed himself into us. So what do we see from this? Is that first we see that the relationship that he has with us is personal. He is personal in that he created us personally with his own hands, and by his own breath he put himself into us. And we also see that he named us. He said, "Let us make man," and then he called the first man Adam, which means man. And so we see that God stooped down and created the mud man, and then stooped even lower to breathe into us himself. We see that when he made us, he, instead of like Lucifer, he created, and it was the most wise and beautiful creature he ever created. When he made man, he took the lowest, which is the dirt of the earth, and he took the highest, which is his breath, and he combined those two things and created us. So there is a combination that we live in, where we're part of the earth and part of heaven, and it's something that has created within us conflict, but it's also a beautiful thing because it allows us to overcome pride and allows us to be humble in expressing that. So God humbled himself and he made us, made man in his image. But now let's look at Genesis chapter 3, because again, pride comes into the world through man now. And in this we see that when the serpent came, who was Satan, came, he tempted man, or tempted Eve, in three basic areas. The first thing that we see is that he came and he tried to discredit God's word. And in Genesis 3:1, he says, "Has God indeed said that if you eat of this, that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" So he puts a question into Eve, which is a question that goes after discrediting what God has said. Secondly, what we see is that he tries to discredit God's character. And we see that in verse 4. It says, "Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall surely not die, for God knows that if you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will see good and evil." So the second thing that happened was he's discrediting God and saying that he's really not going to cause you to die, right? It's good to eat. Go ahead and do it, right? And then the third thing is that he's he's offering to Adam and Eve to be equal with God. Your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. So what we see is that the temptation that came is the same temptation of pride that Satan or Lucifer fell into when he was cast down. So the principle here again is that man tried to exalt himself, and now again God, the principle, needs to cast man down. And he does that in several different ways. The first thing that we see is that our direct fellowship with God is broken. You know, when he comes to the garden, he says, "Where are you? Where are you?" Because man was hiding himself. The second thing is that we see man's life source was cut off. And so from this point on, Adam and Eve and every other human is like a battery that's running down. Its life breath within them is going to die in the future. Third thing we see is that man is subject to what the Bible calls corruption, biblical corruption. All of the universe or all of the creation on earth is also because man has the authority over the earth, then all of the earth is also corrupted in what it was doing. Fourth, man is subject to Satan's harassment. And we have seen that in all of our lives. Fifth, man is now a slave instead of being the king or the ruler of the earth. Man's whole realm has now become subject to vanity and futility. And you see that in any movies, it always ends in futility or vanity. And all of our life without God is tied up in almost nothing. And it will eventually blow away like the grass that talked about in the Psalms, is that we're like grass that grows up and then gets scorched and then blows away. The futility of life outside of Christ. And then lastly is that man has become identified with Christ or with Satan in the guilt of rebellion. And so our life is full of rebellion. So what are we seeing so far? Is that when Satan fell, God stooped lower and created man. When man fell, what did God do? Well, he stooped even lower. Because now what we see, and let's look at that in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Hebrews chapter 2. What we see is that it says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he," that's Christ, "himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lives were subject to bondage." So I want to end today and maybe another week pick up more and talk more details about what Christ has done for us in him humbling himself and coming to become a man and to die on the cross for us. But you know, we need to end on a positive note that God has a formula or has a solution for the pride of man, for the pride of the universe, and that's humility. And it says in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For his wounds we have been healed." And this is where we're at if we humble ourselves and put on that apron to serve the Lord and serve others, that we through humility can come into the kingdom and the righteousness that is in Christ is now given to us. So it's like a two-headed coin, is that on the one side of the coin is Christ is identifying with us as men. He is identified with our sin. He is identified with our death. He is identified with all the things that man goes through. And then the other side of the coin now, because of that, we can identify with Christ in his death on the cross, and we can join him in that. And then in that exchange or in that humility that we bring to ourselves, we can enter into all the good things that God has for us. So I wanted to maybe next week or sometime after that continue on, because there's so much more that we could look at related, especially in what Jesus has done for us, and make that very clear that it is this spiritual law that we're living under, which is that if we humble ourselves, God will lift us up. And that's exactly what he has done, is when we humble ourselves in Christ Jesus, then God comes and he lifts us up and he allows us to be seated. That's what the scripture says, to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. And so that's where we are. If we humble ourselves, then we become kings and queens in God's kingdom. And he allows us to, he's the one who then lifts us up. It's not us obtaining to anything. All we do is lower ourselves, and then he lifts us up. And that's the power and the amazing thing of this spiritual principle that is in play in all of the universe. And we see that it's in play in heaven as well as on earth. And so it will always apply, and it will always be true, that as we humble ourselves, we will be lifted up. And if we lift ourselves up, then we will be humbled. So praise the Lord. We serve a good God who humbled himself for us. He laid down his life for us, down to the lowest level. And therefore, God has lifted him up to the highest level, and we can join him in those heavenly realms if we humble ourselves with him. So praise the Lord. Amen.